Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Today's guest,
Dr. Michelle Burke. I'll tell you more about her in a moment, but first my monologue. I'm sure you have all heard of Montessori schools. Let me begin with a short quote from the founder, Dr. Maria Montessori. She says, "The most important period of life is not the age of universities, but the first one, the period from birth to age six, for that is the time when man's intelligence itself is being formed." Maria Montessori was born on August 21st, 1870, in Chiaravalle, near Ancona, Italy. She graduated in medicine from the University of Rome in 1896 as the first woman physician in Italy. Upon graduation, she was appointed assistant doctor at the psychiatric clinic at the University of Rome. There, she became interested in the educational problems of disabled children. She was appalled by the way schools treated kids and scorned conventional classrooms. There, she said, children were, quote, "treated like butterflies mounted on pins, all fastened each to its place," end quote. She sought instead to teach children by supplying concrete materials and organizing situations conducive to learning with these materials. Interestingly, the disabled student in her classrooms soon outperformed their non-handicapped peers. She then began to use her methods in regular schools and found great success. For the next 40 years, she traveled throughout Europe, India, and the United States, lecturing, writing, and establishing teacher training programs. In 1922, she was appointed government inspector of schools in Italy, but left that country in 1934 because of the fascist rule. Dr. Montessori died May 6, 1952, and I should leave this alone, but I'm going to try it, in Noordwijk aan de Zee in the Netherlands. How did I do with that, Michelle? Did I kill that name?
You're right on it. I'm an English learner, so you did great.
Okay. Reading about her, you quickly become aware of the love and respect she had for children. One more quote that touched me. "The child is both a hope and a promise for mankind." Now I have the privilege of introducing our special guest, Dr. Michelle Burke. Dr. Burke was born and raised in Houston, Texas, but has deep roots in Mexican heritage and customs. She calls herself a Tex-Mex gal. She earned a bachelor's in interdisciplinary studies with an early childhood to fourth grade certification from University of Houston and a Master of Arts in Instructional Leadership with principal certification at Sam Houston State University. She received her doctorate in supervision and leadership from the University of Houston. In addition to all these degrees, she obtained a Montessori certificate from the National Center of Montessori Education in Houston, Texas. Her list of accomplishments is longer than a 20-decade rosary. Suffice it to say, she has spent two decades in education at all levels, from classroom teacher to administrator to school district consultant. She has developed a literacy and mathematics hands-on program called Learning by Doing, A Child's Way. Or is it Learning by Doing a Child's Way?
Yes, Learning by Doing a Child's Way.
We'll get to that later, okay. It is a fusion of Montessori with second language learning strategies. She has been published in educational journals, major newspapers, and magazines, and speaks nationwide on her Learning by Doing a Child's Way. She has two kind and smart sons, aged 20 and 7, and lives in Houston, Texas with her boys and her husband, Chris. They worship at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Houston. Welcome, Dr. Burke, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. It's such a pleasure to have you on our show.
Well, thank you for having me. I am truly blessed to share this space with you and share my experiences with you and those that are streaming with us. So thank you. And it's an honor to be here.
Well, you're so welcome, Michelle. I'm so excited. But let's get right into it. Please tell us, first of all, why you became a teacher.
From a very young age, of course, I always wanted to teach. But what really turned my heart around was when my younger brother, who is a year younger than me, was diagnosed with leukemia. I was 8 years old, and he's 7 years old. And I remember the day that he went to the hospital, and he never came back. Well, he came back, but thank God. He was there for about 3 months, and they discovered that he had leukemia. And we were both in the same grade because I was born September 7th, and so I couldn't start school until a year later due to the law after September 2nd. And so I just made it a mission that he was not going to fall behind. And I would go home, and I would practice the work with him. And I was just bound and determined that he was going to make it. And thank God and prayers, he's a recovered patient, and he's doing very well. He also graduated from the University of Houston downtown. And that's my story. That's my why. And I know everybody has a why, but that's my why.
Well, that's a big, beautiful why. And I must say that in those days, and I think that was quite a few years ago, what year was that he was diagnosed?
Oh, God. Let's see, that was about 1985,
we were just beginning to find some hope for kids with leukemia. But man, he was really, really blessed to have survived. Well, thank you so much for that story. Now, Michelle, in Montessori classrooms have four major avenues of work, from what I can understand: practical life, sensorial development, development of language, and early preparation of the mathematical mind. Can you tell us a bit about those four things?
Absolutely. They each are valuable. And of course, Maria Montessori also has science and social studies and cultural categories. But those are the primary ones. For practical life, I think it's really important to understand that there's direct learning and there's indirect learning. The purpose of practical life is what a lot of Montessorians know as OCCI. And the purpose of those experiences is for kids to develop order, that's the O, concentration, coordination, and independence. So those four skills they're able to engage in hands-on everyday life activities that also promote and develop those skills. Those order, concentration, coordination, and independence are later needed for more abstract concepts or, you know, to enter into math or language arts and reading and writing. So those are very, very important skills. We as parents can develop those skills at home and, you know, from setting the table, folding clothes, washing dishes, making your beds, you know, everyday life that will build independence and empower the children to have ownership. Sewing, ironing for older kids, petting, fish, feeding your pets, taking care of your pets. And of course, a huge part of practical life is the care of the environment, right? The care and responsibilities, as well as grace and courtesy. Maria Montessori included under practical life, grace and courtesy, being courteous, how to properly ask for help, how to protect somebody else's space. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. So practical life is order, coordination, concentration, and independence.
Well, it's so exciting because it seems to me that you're just talking about good parenting. And I think that's what parenting is. It's doing what you want your kids to do, being the kind of person you want them to become. And now you bring that mode into the classroom. I think it's just wonderful. What are some of the tools that Montessori uses? She talked about tools.
So when you say tools, we look at when she was studying medicine, and she didn't want to be a teacher, of course, but it so happened that that's where she got guided. She worked with scientists Seguin and Attard, And they helped her develop what we call concretized abstractions, meaning that these are hands-on lessons that have a concrete abstraction in it. And each of those tools or lessons focus on a specific skill or a specific aspect of focus of learning. For instance, it might be size, it might be color. And so she was very particular in isolating the difficulty for kids so that they're able to master learning or master those concepts needed. And some of those things that at home we can do is setting up an environment where it's conducive for them to learning. So if very young children want to make their own breakfast, and you might want to put milk and cereal, you know, at a lower level, and maybe put like milk in a smaller container that they can grasp and do themselves. So it's thinking about their world and setting up the environment so that they can be successful.
Good, good. Now, Dr. Montessori also talked about the planes of development, the first plane being under 6 years of age, and then 6 to 12 years, 12 to 18, and then even adults. Can you talk just very briefly about them? Because I want to save some time to hear about your learning by doing a child's way.
Absolutely. In the first period, which is the sensitive period for language, and it's usually from 3 to 6 years old, this is an area where children are very sensitive and apt to learning a language. And also knowing the research of second language learners and beginners to acquire a second language, it takes about 6 years. So bilingual and biliterate students who are learning two languages, it's not that we're slower, it's just that we're managing with two languages and it takes us longer to manage a second language. But definitely kids at a very young age, they're very interested in language. And so oral language development, identifying letter names and sounds, and of course, always beginning with what is meaningful to them, you know, identifying their names, writing, you know, using sand or salt to write their names, practice writing, identifying the letters of their names and of those of their families. So even singing to your children is very, very, very powerful. Asking the 5W questions when reading a book, who, what, when, where, and why is also very powerful for young kids. Then when you move into the early preparation of mathematical mind, where children need to experience and organize their learning. They are able to manipulate with their hands and learn more abstract concepts, you know, identifying numbers, creating sets. Here's where kids really would like to, you know, you could build those skills by engaging them in cooking at home, engaging them in creating and writing their own recipes. So, the development for children, it's super powerful in the fact that we have to set it up so that they can master the skills needed to move on to the next plane.
Well, very, very interesting. Maria also described 7 developmental areas or principles. Play is the work of the child. Mm-hmm. I just love that. There's a poem about that I read many, many years ago, that the work of the sun is mm-hmm. warmth, the work of the river is someone else, but the work of the child is mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to list these one by one and then have you talk a few seconds about each one, and we'll get through these as quickly as we can so we can save time, because I want to hear about your work.
Perfect.
Play is the work of the child.
Well, for children, that's how they make sense of the world. That's how they discover and learn, right? So we have to be very intentional with our environment. Teachers, when we receive kids in our classroom who are reprimanded for trying new things or for not trying, sometimes kids won't even try new things because they're scared to fail. So it's very powerful in, you know, they want to play, and it is through play that they learn to work. They want to do the work of the adult. And that's what Maria Montessori believed. But children learn through play. They learned how to communicate as well through play. They learn how to take turns, when they're playing. And it depends the age. If they're at a younger age, they might, play parallel. And sometimes it's good that we know this So that we don't force things on our kids, as like sharing, for instance, or why don't you play with the others? They might not be ready for that. They might want to just play parallel and engage in their own experiences. But of course, that's how children make sense of the world.
And I think the play that they make up themselves is even more important than the play that we put them on, the five-year-old bat off tee thing or something like that. Now, what is the prepared environment she talks about in number two?
So that is, you mentioned that the environment that we set, it has to be very intentional. It's not, and a lot of people believe that Montessori is a free-for-all, and it's absolutely not. Maria Montessori believed that knowledge precedes choice, and that Maria Montessori believed in what she called the dynamic link, which was the guide, the student, and the environment. So the way we set up the environment will definitely reflect the success of the student or of the child at home, you know, tables and chairs at their age level, books according to their age level. So we need to understand that we need to eliminate barriers for them to develop and maximize their potential. And those are hands-on learning experiences. Another thing that also that we see, or I see, is that we tend to set up environments. We're a little bit biased. So I love music. So music is exposed a lot in our home. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of math, but I have to understand that in order to provide experiences that are successful in math for my kids. So those are kind of things that we need to, are we hindering our children in learning? Are we creating an environment where they're going to be successful?
And number three, she says, is independence. What is independence to a young child, and how does a Montessori education lead to independence?
Well, independence is really a gift. It's beautiful to see when a new student enters a Montessori classroom. And back in the day, Maria Montessori would call it normalized. The child is normalized. But understanding that it empowers children, that, you know, Maria Montessori believed that independence frees a child's potential. And they begin to understand that they're not afraid to make mistakes, that they're part of this greater community. I go back to the home life and understanding that we're a community of learners and we learn through mistakes. And I can share my youngest son, Luke, he does not like making mistakes. And I'm like, you have to make mistakes to learn. He wants to get it right the first time. But they understand that that you're part of a greater community, that for the good of all. It's really ironic because it's such an abstract concept, yet in Montessori classrooms and Montessori homes, because you're modeling it, you're being kind to one another, you're providing grace and courtesy, you're respecting the environment, the materials, and the space of others, it becomes like a community of respect for each other and a sense of the good for all. So it's a beautiful experience, but it's definitely a gift.
Yeah, well, the fourth one, to me, it's much more obvious. It's hands-on learning, that children learn through experience. And that is like, yes, we all do. Do you want to just comment a few bit about that?
Absolutely. It's an experience, you know, and I do believe if you lack experience, you lack language, and you lack the ability to share that language. Usually we find that, you know, in working in schools of Title I, meaning low income, some of our students come and they lack language, and it's because they don't have the experience. And the beauty of Maria Montessori is that children experience learning, and it's through the hands, through the senses. She believed there's not, like Aristotle, there's nothing in the intellect that wasn't first in the senses. And it's like us, when you're trying to perfect a recipe, you have to do it over and over and over again, you know, until you master the concept.
Okay. She also says number five is observation. Tell us, what do we observe and what do we do about it?
So as parents, and it's really hard because we want to observe the pros and the negatives, right? We want to observe without judgment. And as much as we tell our parents, and as much as I tell myself, you can't compare your kids, but, you know, we do it. But it's knowing that you need to catch yourself in the act. The part about observing is Maria Montessori would, she actually, you know, sit back and observe the child to see if they were working independently. So you want to be able to observe what are your child's likes and what are your child's dislikes and why, you know, why do you want to observe that? Why do you want to know, you know, in the Montessori classroom, you know, it's freedom of choice. You know, some children just want to work with math. And so you want to kind of guide them into the language arts and other areas so that they are able to develop those abilities. And as a parent at home, you know, if they're interested in music, so how can you develop those skills? Or if they're a great mathematician, how can you develop those skills but encourage other areas such as writing? So as a parent and as a teacher, you want to be able to have a balance but also nurture their love for whatever skill or, you know, that they're interested in.
I think that's so good. I used to always tell parents that they should concentrate on what the kids do well. Mm-hmm. So if they're getting all A's in language arts and they don't get a good grade in science, then schools normally concentrate on science and makes them then hate learning because that's difficult mm-hmm. for them. But if they would concentrate on what they do well and then bring the other things in as a sideline, I think things are, get much more success than the way we traditionally have done that. So thank you for that. Now, the sixth thing is freedom within limits. And I would say, well, freedom for kindergartners? Tell me more.
It's absolutely beautiful to see the kids working. Freedom within limits, it basically means that, again, children understand that knowledge precedes choice and they understand in logical consequences. I don't remember where I read this and I haven't been able to cite it or quote it. I just remember I learned it in the Montessori training so many years ago, the three R's. So logical consequences went back to the consequence needs to be related to what they did. It needs to be reasonable and it needs to be respectful. So the three R's basically teach kids instead of punish kids. And I think that's very important at home. And in the Montessori classroom that we're very in tune that we are, you know, the consequences related to what they did. It's reasonable, meaning age appropriate, and it's still respectful for the child. And it's a freedom within limits. It's beautiful because, again, they're part of the community and they understand that knowledge precedes choice. They understand that I need to know what I'm expected to do with this lesson. And if I want to extend and get creative, I can, but it should have been modeled to me. And I know what to do with that energy. And I know how to direct myself and working with this material.
Okay. We only have about 3 minutes left, but tell us a little bit about respect, the seventh principle. How is respect taught? And then we're going to talk right about learning by doing
Thank you. Grace and courtesy is one of the main aspects, again, of practical life. And you, from the teacher to the student, during our training, we're asked to observe teacher-student conversations, the dynamics and relationships between the two. And the student is very much respected. I quickly learned that I should never expect anything to do it myself in the classroom. So you hold yourself accountable. It's almost like you see that there's a camera always on you, which it is with kids. And when I work with teachers, I'm like, just pretend you have a camera because that's what they are. All eyes are on you. And it starts basically with yourself. I think that's the beauty about Montessori, that we work to become better by improving ourselves, planning better, preparing the environment, but understanding that the development of the child, you know, not to take things personal, but to guide that energy in those directions. I mean, guide that energy in the right direction. So grace and courtesy, from not screaming to, you know, very low tone voice, very positive, and also protecting the time of work. So, you know, grace and courtesy is part of the community. It's part of our ground rules that we teach kids. We teach, that, you know, and model those rules in the classroom. And it's things that we do at home as well, right? When we have conversations, when we have arguments, when we're happy, we're excited, when we're out driving or when we're in a grocery store, we don't like something. And so kids are always observing us. And it's a huge component of Montessori.
Okay, wonderful, Michelle. We have about a minute left for you to tell us all about your program, Learning by Doing, A Child's Way.
So the Learning by Doing, A Child's Way started when I became an assistant principal, and we had to open up a pre-K center with about 600. It grew up to 800. And I basically mocked Montessori. It was in a public school system, and we trained the teachers with the material. And that later became my dissertation, how to, you know, prepare teachers with hands-on. And then it developed into a program or a guide. A superintendent in Marshall, Texas, who is Dr. Jerry Gibson, going through the doctoral, he asked me to create it for him. And that's how I was born. It's very intentional. It has Montessori theory, where the lessons are very simple to abstract. They're very hands-on. And I work with private and public schools, or even daycares, where I am able to train. I set up their classrooms and I do hands-on training for them. And it's been very successful, and I'm very thankful. So, yeah.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much, but we are out of time. And thank you, our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Before we sign off, one quick story. Yesterday afternoon, I busied myself by trimming the lower branches off a cedar tree in my backyard. Our city makes rounds of all the streets every month and picks up lawn and garden waste, which residents leave at the curb. They shred it and make it into compost. So I pulled the first bunch of branches down to the street, down to the cul-de-sac, and left them in the open area off the street. I couldn't help noticing four young girls, each about 11 or 12 years old, skating on one skate in the cul-de-sac. They skated on one skate and pedaled with the other one as if they were on a scooter. They were laughing, having just a wonderful time in the sunshine. Now, I assumed that two of the girls had skates and shared the other skate with their other friends, because two of them had right foot skates and two of them had left foot skates. My immediate thought is this is really the best way to learn. They discovered a problem, they solved the problem without consultation from adults and went on with their lives. What a great example of learning. Now for your homework. Get your spouse and friends together and re-listen to parenting-matters.com and listen to this show. Then look up Montessori schools in your area and discuss with your family whether any of them would like to go to these schools. Then go back to parentingmatters.com and tell us about your conversation. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.